Welcome to Conversations in Business with RSM, where we talk to business leaders and experts to gain valuable insights that will help you move your business forward.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Conversations in Business with RSM. I'm Noma Ashom, CEO of RSM South Africa. Today, I'm joined by my two fellow directors at RSM South Africa, Liz Pinnock and Mohadi Malemats. As we celebrate Women's Day in South Africa, I thought it would be a lovely idea to hear from my fellow directors on how they view women in leadership positions and how they think these are shaping the future. According to a recent S&P Global report, companies with female CEOs, female CFOs, and a higher gender diversity on their board of directors are proving to be more profitable. And according to Harvard Business Review, female managers often outperform their male counterparts in leadership competencies. Various pieces of research have also shown that women excel in crucial areas of business management, such as emotional intelligence, relationship building, and communication. The rise of women in business leadership positions is not a passing trend and is proving to actually be a strategic advantage for forward-thinking organizations. So on that note, I'm going to ask Liz. Liz, businesses are now realizing the importance of diverse leadership teams and that they are actually crucial for innovation and growth. What are your thoughts on the benefits of diverse leadership?
Thanks, Noma, for that great question. I'm a huge proponent of diverse leadership teams. I always have been, but following the merger between RSM South Africa and Ngubane Johannesburg, I was very lucky to have experienced firsthand how these diverse teams can bolster the decision-making process within an organization and to actually come to the right decision. It just takes time and these different perspectives matter. But if we take the time to listen and to understand the different views, ultimately, everyone has the best interests of the organization at heart. But the route to get there may be different. But all we need to do is listen.
True. Mm. True. And Mohadi, what will be your take on diversity in leadership and why is it crucial?
I think adding to what Liz said, because I fully agree, it makes for a much more diverse pool of ideas, pool of perspectives. And with that comes, you can only but add onto what you have as an organization. It doesn't take away, but it always adds. It's that whole synergy that comes through, that where I do not know something, my fellow leader would know, they would have an idea of something that I wouldn't even think about. So innovation comes in when there's diversity. And there is also a sense of understanding that if I am accepted within a diverse group, I have my place as me there. And what that means is I bring the best of who I am and everyone else brings their best. So there's synergy, there's growth. Only good things can come from a diverse pool where there's understanding.
Mm. And Noma, and maybe if I can just add to Mohadi's comments there. I find that working in diverse groups, it's such a great opportunity to learn from each other. Mm. Because often if your groups are kind of same, we don't grow professionally, we don't learn from each other. And so really what I'm trying to encourage everyone is embrace diversity. Really, really encourage people to bring their diverseness, their uniqueness to those groups so that you can learn from each other and come up with really the best decision for the firm. Thanks.
Mm. And I think what both of you said is so true, because we view and interact with everything and everyone around us through the filter of our life experiences. And if you bring all these different filters in one room, it makes a beautiful mirror of color. Mm. And if we are able to incorporate those ideas, we can only grow from there and provide an even better experience for our employees, our clients, our prospective clients. So it's really a win-win situation. And Liz, you said something about listening, which I believe is one of the greatest attributes any leader can have. Because if you listen, you allow yourself also to be empathetic. You are able to move further and relate with your team even more. So, Mohadi, maybe just picking up from what you said earlier on, what do you believe are the most important attributes for any leader in the modern workplace?
I believe what you said, Norma, about listening and empathy. And why that's becoming more and more critical is our world is full of machines. It's full of us, our computers, our phones, and we don't really take the time anymore to actually connect to who we're talking to. Things are happening so quickly. We all have deadlines. We all want to provide services to our clients. But I think as a leader, if one takes the time to listen, to just pause for a moment and, in a sense, acknowledge the person in front of me, because that diversity that we've just spoken about then comes through. I'm able to listen without judging, without preempting, and in a sense, not coming with my view that what I hold as an idea or perspective is superior. But even from a direct report, somebody that I work with, I can hear something that will help me. So, as a leader, as much as you are imparting, you are also receiving from those that you're leading. And I believe listening, that empathy, it also makes the people around us, whether it's our clients or the people that are within the organization, they feel heard, they feel understood. And we talk about that a lot as RSM, the power of being understood. And I think that is one of the key things I'd say as a leader would be an attribute that I would put forward as top of mind for me.
True. And you know, one of the lessons I've learned from other female leaders is that, you know, we should always build a support system around us. We should always be in a position where we communicate, right? Because it's also about a conversation takes two people. You communicate, you listen, you speak, and also just not feeling guilty about having to taking time off or chasing your dreams. And that. So, Liz, according to you, what are the biggest lessons that you've learned from female leaders so far in your career?
Sure, Noma, that's a tough one for me to answer because when I started my career, I've got to be honest, there weren't many female leaders around. So female role models were quite sparse. Most of the top attorneys and advocates were male. And in fact, when I did my articles, I think I was the only female in the firm at that time, a professional female. So it was very difficult for me to kind of build the confidence as a young professional. So what I had to do is I had to look elsewhere for inspiration. So where could I find that? And so I decided to read a lot. I read a lot of business leadership books, but the one by Sheryl Sandberg obviously stands out. I mean, she was the previous CEO of Facebook, and she wrote that wonderful book, Lean In, Women Work and the Will to Lead. And the moment you read it, you think, oh my gosh, that's me. I want to be a woman leader. I'm up for it, you know? And she takes you on a journey on how she achieved what she needed to achieve. But it wasn't easy for her. So one of the tenets of her book is find a mentor or sponsor. This mentor and sponsor is very important. So find someone who can progress your career. Now, this is much easier for men than for women. I mean, it's changed now, I'd like to think, but back then it wasn't so easy. So I've been very fortunate in my career to be mentored by very capable men, and I suppose sponsored to some extent. From a business perspective and also from a professional perspective. I mean, the senior commercial attorney who kind of taught me my trade has passed on, which is quite sad, but he taught me what I needed to know. And so I was very lucky to have learned from the be very best of what there was available at the time. So I'm very grateful for that. But if I put my lens on and I look at RSM South Africa today, I've been very outspoken about where we are today, and I'm really, really thrilled because if I look at the 85 year history of RSM South Africa, today I can honestly say that we are a transformed organization. We're 65% managed by women. We're very, very lucky to have you as our first female CEO. I mean, it's amazing in terms of where we've transformed. And the majority of our executive committees within the firm comprise women. And, when I joined, I was the only woman at the table. And now more than half of our committees comprise women. And I mean, it is such a change, and it's so refreshing to bring in that diversity, to bring in, all the wonderful things that we as women leaders can bring to the boardroom table. So that's great. So now what am I saying? I'm saying, if that's where I am and that's where I've come from and we've transformed, what is it that I have to do? And I again feel quite strongly about this. I need to pay it forward. And by that I mean, as a woman leader, I need to mentor and guide those very, very talented professionals that we have. Because I'm not going to be here forever, thank goodness. But they've got a long history with us. And I want them to take over from where we've left off. I don't want them to go backwards and have to rebuild. I want to say, guys, this is what we've achieved as your senior leadership team. Now you can take the firm forward from where we are. So thanks, Noma.
No, that's amazing, Liz. And I think we had interviews a few weeks ago just looking into the future leadership of RSM South Africa. And you almost get taken aback when you hear somebody say, "I'm happy to see more people like me in leadership,"
Yeah, that's
right? So
fabulous,
when we're
that.
looking at it from women in leadership and diversity, critical mass does matter. It does, because if it's not there, then people will not stay, because then
Yeah.
they believe it is not a good place to work because I do not see people like me in leadership, be
Yeah.
it young people, female, black, white, Indian colored, blue, orange. But critical mass does matter. And maybe, Mohadi, just to come back to you, what has been your biggest lesson from a female leader that you've interacted with or who's mentored you in your career? And just looking at those lessons learned, how then do you think you develop and support emerging female leaders in the workplace?
Thanks for the question, Norma, and also just what Liz said and reflecting on that as well. I so connect to what she said, because the fact that you sometimes have to go to books is also an indicator of how few leaders were available when some of us were coming up. And for me, it's been looking at examples of women where it's not what I'd want to be, and those where that's what I aspire to be. And what has been the connector for me there was looking at not wanting to lose the essence of who I am, where you almost have to apologize for who you are in order to succeed. It's a very tricky balancing act, because for you to develop, you have to acknowledge there are things that need to change, but at the same time, not change things that are critical to your essence, because then you rob us of you. And that's been almost a bit of my self-talk along the way, where if I've needed to be corrected, whether coming up through articles all the way to junior management, management, and ultimately senior management, you are so tempted to take what you're being given as feedback to mean there's something wrong with you. And I've had to really look at that and say, I can take the meat and throw away the bones. And we grow as a person, ultimately to where I can confidently say I can lead and be able to inspire someone else to be themselves, grow, but still remain who you are. And so that's also what I take in as I look at mentoring, because we don't always mentor formally, where you agree with someone that you're mentoring. There are those that you identify and you almost take close to you in showing them how to do things without the formal relationship of mentoring. But identifying talent, identifying where someone is struggling, and that word of just quickly saying something to them to just encourage them, to let them know it is part of the journey. It is not an easy journey as a woman when you want to be a leader, because as Liz said, you are balancing being a mommy, you are balancing being so many things to so many people. And because we're so connected to our emotions as women, it is sometimes easy to be overwhelmed by all of that and to forget that I can work through my emotions and still be a leader. So I'll give you an example of where you come back from maternity leave and the tears are so close to your eyes. It's so easy for you to be driven to tears, but yet the message has always been a strong leader doesn't cry. You can't show emotions. And those are some of the things where I've seen female leaders that have they've worked that out so nicely, where I could see someone be emotional but maintain strength and know that there is a stage in your life where you are more emotional. It's okay. You work through it, but it doesn't diminish your leadership or you being a leader. So that's been what's inspired me. In mentoring, I do look for how I can inspire whoever I'm mentoring to remain who they are, but to never ever accept that they cannot be better, they cannot do better, they cannot grow, they cannot develop, to push themselves and to be ambitious, because we have that inside us as women. We have that drive of when we put our minds to something, we really can push through all of the difficult circumstances and get there. So a bit of a roundabout answer, Norma, but yes, yes.
No. And roundabout, but touching on the key points that Liz had already also mentioned, mentorship, paying it forward, you know. And I think we also need to just be honest as female leaders. I think you touched on this, Mohadi, to say it's not easy. We are still caregivers by birth. Yes, I'm not taking away from the fact that men are caregivers as well, but chances are you're in the house with your partner, your husband, you have a child, the child will walk past your partner and come and ask you for water. And that is the reality of being a woman. And I think one of the lessons that we probably need to teach and develop in our younger female leaders is that there is no work-life balance. But you are able to infuse the two. And again, that comes with communication. And that comes with building a support system around you at home and at work so that you are able to do what you need to do. Because there will be times when you are busy and you won't give of yourself to certain people in your life. And there will be times when you're not that busy. And we need to learn to prioritize and say, listen, right now it's time for my family. I'm not that busy at work. So I'm actually going to take time off and be with the people that I love. Not saying I don't love you guys at work, but I have given my time to you, but it's time that this is time that I now give to my family. And I think that is so critical. And also the other thing for me around the diversity discussion is it can't just be words that we use. We go to conferences and we talk about this, but we need to make it practical as well. So when we get into these leadership positions, we also need to look at things that make the life of women easier. How have we done our policies? Do we have maternity leave? Just simple things like that that really, really make it easy for women to lead and to be in the workplace. So I think for me, that's the one thing that I would like to take down to female leaders who are coming up. Like rightfully said, Mohadi, it's not easy. And if there's one piece of advice that I've recently received from other female leaders is that sometimes the most productive thing you can do is to rest. And often we do not. So Liz, what would you say is the one best piece of advice that you've received?
For the first time, I'm having time for Liz, which is actually quite cool. And it hasn't been like that up until now, necessarily. You get run off your feet. And so I've got to make a conscious effort to do that. And time for Liz can be reading a great book that I've wanted to read, or do a bit of studying, or hiking up a mountain. I think I told you guys I went hiking for 5 days last week, which was very special for me. Or just doing a trail run, but just taking that time out to kind of re-energize Liz. It's very important, but I'm only getting to that now. And I'm sorry, in the years where I was building my career, that I didn't do more of that, to be honest. Because, if I'm energized and I'm healthy and I'm focused, it's much easier to deal with stuff at work and at home. Things don't bother you as much. You're very solution orientated if that happens. So I'm still learning how to do it, and I'm delighted I'm still learning, because my work-life balance even now is not great, but I'm learning. And so I think that's all I can say.
Yep, we're all learning this. Mokadi, what is the best piece of advice that you've received?
One thinks back to so many moments, and it's also about what's happening at that time in one's life. But Noma, I wanted to maybe connect it to something you said earlier about maternity leave, just to bring a point there that when I was doing articles, and it's generally not the best time to be having a baby when you are at the tail end of your articles. And the best thing that I received at that time, not in the form of words, but in the form of actions, was the HR director at the time, who said to me, though you may feel the way you're feeling now, because how you were made to feel back then when you did articles, married, you trying to build your family, you were made to feel like you've just literally killed your career. Like it's the worst thing you can do for yourself. And she said to me, this will pass. But when you look back at it, ask yourself what you would wish you had done to not make it as painful as it is right now. And what that meant for me was, this special moment will not happen again. And yet, at the same time, understand that being as ambitious as I am, I don't want to lose that. So it just helped me to reflect, to just pause for a moment and say, with how I'm feeling, with all the voices that I'm hearing, how do I want this to look in future? And almost bring it to that moment. And I did find that it helped somewhat. It helped in making the moment still very special for me, not taking away from enjoying. It was my first baby, so you can imagine. And I was able to go on maternity leave, come back, and feel that I'm welcome to now take on my career again. Because you also, as a woman, then adjust after pregnancy. So it's not just that you are pregnant, you have a baby, and then whoops, you are back to yourself again. There's still that period where you're looking for yourself, you're trying to find yourself. So it helps that there's somebody who can say something to you that lets you know, oh, okay. No, this will be fine. And the second piece of advice around that time came from a male. It came from, it was at that time my senior manager who said to me, I see that you're trying to push very hard. And knowing you, I know that's what you would want to do. But can I just tell you, when my wife had our baby, it took her about a year to be herself. So I'm expecting that you will push, but I know you will still struggle just to find your feet. Be okay with yourself with that. It's fine. I know your intentions are good, but don't be afraid to come to me when there's a challenge, because I saw what my wife went through when she had a baby. And from a male, it did so much for me. And as a result, I could finish the end of my articles and be able to still continue to build a career afterwards. So, yeah, it's been from a male and a female. Best piece of advice.
Best piece of advice, be okay with yourself.
Yeah.
Ladies, I'd like to thank you for joining me
Pleasure.
this morning. But before we go, just a few points to summarize from our conversation. Something that I took away from what we've discussed. It's very important to find a mentor or a sponsor as you are going through this journey of being a female in leadership. Secondly, listen and empathize with those around you. Always pay it forward. Importantly, from Liz, find time for yourself, which is something that we struggle with as women. And in finding time for yourself also means find time to rest. Work will always be there. And I love what you've just said, Mohadi. Pause and reflect amongst the voices that you are hearing. And that speaks to self-reflection. And to our audience, the business landscape is changing globally as women continue to break the barriers across company types and industries. It's not going away. It's here. We are here and we are the future. And in Mohadi's words, I would like to say, embrace your unique strengths and confidently pursue your goals. Thank you for joining us.
That was Conversations in Business with RSM. Experience the power of being understood. Experience RSM. Visit rsmza.co.za.